Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Touchdown for the Bears.
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt has guided his Bears to the playoffs, and he knows what it takes to succeed.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wannstedt, there's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A superb game plan defensively by the Miami Hurricanes.
The party has begun in Miami.
Super Bowl champion.
They swarmed to the ball so incredibly. This speed burning defense, number one in the NFL. Dave Wannstedt, the defensive coordinator.
Football analyst for Fox Sports and NBC Sports Chicago.
I used to go to the Bahamas a lot when I was coaching the Dolphins. It was beautiful. I'd go over there, so they got to know us, you know, and we'd go up and say, Hey, coach. I said, what's up, guys? He says, run Ricky up the middle, man. Run Ricky up the middle. I says, I'm trying to run Ricky up the middle.
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt with the mustache. Looks like Bill Cowher, the Pittsburgh coach, a little bit, doesn't he?
And Ditka likes it. What kind of a guy is this, right?
With McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
And one of our favorite hours of the week, a couple of segments with Dave Wannstedt and then Paul Ciarci, and it's brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. In our conversation with Coach Wannstedt, brought to you by Cassidy Tire and Service. How's it going, Dave?
I am great. It's another great week. In fact, Chicago, it didn't get much better in last week, and obviously the Bears win, but how about Northwestern, right, in the Big Ten championship game? And now we got a huge game here at Soldier Field, which we have not had in a while, a real meaningful game.
It sure is. Hey, there's a meaningful game tonight to get us started for Week 11. Ooh. Would you consider this Packers-Seahawks game an elimination game? They're both with losing records.
I would. I absolutely would. I think this game... when you play a game like this on national TV, that's a kind of a must win. They're both NFC teams. They have to, a game on national TV can do a lot for a team's psyche one way or another. So I think at the end of the day, obviously the records, but continuing to play when you get in the playoffs, it's critical.
Pete Carroll's done a nice job sort of reinventing this team on the fly this year.
He has. And, you know, probably the two things have happened. Russell Wilson is not turning the football over. I don't really know if they're blocking people much better than they had in the past, but he's not turning the football over. And with Kenny Norton's in there now, who, you know, played for me, was there before. Kenny's running the defense. And they have become – they've come from a pressure defense to now one of the – least pressuring defenses in the NFL. So they're playing straight defense. They've simplified things, and they are playing a lot better.
You said a national TV game does a lot for a team's psyche one way or another. The Bears have three of their next four games on national TV. I always thought that was more about media and power rankings and talk. What do you mean it does a lot for the psyche?
But it is, but also a lot of people are going to see him play, you know what I mean, around the country, and that generally might not, and it's it can open up a lot of doors for guys. It really can. You win some national TV games and you have success there. Things come, you know. A lot of these guys are free agents. A lot of these guys are going to be free agents. You know, everybody's watching. I mean, you know, and they're going to watch it anyway. But it's just something about playing well and winning and having a lot of success on national TV, that everything gets inflated a little bit. And when you lose bad on national TV, boy, everybody's talking about it the other way.
Yeah, and that's all too often been the case with our guys in recent years. What does Mitchell Trubisky need to show you that he hasn't yet?
You know what? We were down in Fort Benning, Georgia. That's where we had our NFL shows this past weekend. So I was down there all weekend with Jimmy and Bradshaw and all the guys. And we were talking about this specifically because Jimmy was going to talk about it, and they know it. I've kind of got a little bit of insight, I think, to what's going on at the Bears. So we were, and we kind of all agreed that the only thing that it's missing, and maybe it'll never happen, is they're down by 10. You know, in the fourth quarter, there's 4 or 5 minutes to go. Can he lead the team in a couple scores when there's no real mystery. Everybody in the ballpark knows that you got to throw it. The opponent team, you know, your team, and now can you make those throws?
Yeah, I mean, he's 0-0 in those spots, though, right?
Yeah, like,
he hasn't gotten a shot.
He hasn't had an all. He hasn't need to. The thing that I like that I thought happened last week with Mitch, you know, they're throwing the ball down the field a lot more. You know what I mean? Remember the first week or two, we sat here and said, geez, is it all just bubble screens? You know, is that all they got is a three-step quick? Well, now they're starting to take more shots down the field. He hit a couple of them. He hit one to Robinson, obviously, for a touchdown. And so I think that Matt Nagy's doing really as good a job as you can do as far as taking step one, step two, and just progressing through Mitch's through his maturity.
Somebody has passed along to him the Wanstead theory, 3.5. I don't care if you complete any of them. Stretch the field three times every half.
I said that on the show. Maybe he's listening. Let's hope so, right?
Well, yeah, I hope he's listening too. And Matt, if you are listening, please call.
Yeah, once in a while.
Yeah, that'd be great. But I also think that it's just pretty clear that they're putting in more of the offense as Mitch gets more comfortable with more. They did hurry up offense last week.
Absolutely. No, I like that part of it. I think that's happening. You know, we just got to keep Jordan Howard. I mean, we can't let him get lost in this thing. You know what I mean? I mean, Tariq Cohen is going to make a lot of plays running the ball, but sooner or later it's going to be you're going to need Jordan Howard, I think, just my opinion, in that fourth quarter with 6 minutes to go. You got a three-point lead, and you need to run the clock out, and we just got to keep, you know, at least this is just me talking. I would make sure that he doesn't get lost mentally in this thing and feel that his worth, not worth, but it just feel like his value as far as being used is being slighted.
I still believe in that too. Salt away a victory by doing it ugly between the tackles, but everybody tells me that's just another example, McNeil, of why you're a damn dinosaur. That era has passed us by.
Well, square it for me then. I mean, because they are fifth in the NFL in scoring.
Yes.
Like, they're scoring 29.9 points per game.
Yep.
So it seems to be working.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll find out this week. I mean, the competition is going to be a lot better, I think, obviously, this week against Minnesota. And,
yep.
And they're going to have to be balanced. I mean, you can't come in against the Vikings and put that whole thing on Mitch. If they do, then shame on them, really. You know, I mean, this is going to be a game, in my opinion, where they're going to have to be balanced. Now, you know, maybe they look at it. A lot of guys did. I remember having a conversation with Mike Holmgren back in the day, and he contended, and they did it the best of anybody in the NFL of running screenplays. And Mike's, we got talking to him. We were friends, even though we competed. And he says, Dave, you know, he said, you know, the screenplay is a running play to us. If
sure.
We make 4 yards. So the quick screens and the bubble screens that the Bears do, you know, they might be looking at it that way. And if that's the case, that's their way of controlling the clock and making first downs.
Yeah, the nightmare of every Bears fan on Halloween night of 94 when the Packers beat the Bears in a driving rainstorm, sideways rain at Soldier Field. Edgar Bennett, just that simple play just killed you guys all night.
Well, you know what was crazy? That they ran double screens back then. God, why do you bring up some of these bad memories? Give me some good.
You want me to? I got something good for you.
Well, let me just tell you my story. So we're running this. They ran a double screen. They ran it to the fullback and they ran to the tailback to Bennett. And we covered this. We worked on this and we knew the conditions. You know, it's raining. It's windy. It's a perfect screen atmosphere. And we had worked on it because they did it. And our players, the Bears, we executed it perfectly. We had both screens covered. I mean, it was like practice. Guess what Brett Favre does? He tucks the ball and runs up the middle of the field and for about 10, 15 yards. You know what I mean? Just
who's that player that you see in your nightmares?
Who do I see him on? Well, yeah. He's one of them. I promise you that. You know, that's for darn sure.
Yeah.
Barry Sanders, I try to see him, but sometimes he's going so fast that I don't, you know?
All right.
And I'm sure some of them were your quarterbacks.
Oh,
here's the good story. And Dan Hampton told me years ago, Great Bear, he always hated the Vikings more than he did the Packers when he played for the Bears. 1994 season, your second year with the Bears.
Yes.
The roster is slowly starting to improve. Eric Kramer has a decent year, but he's hurt. And in the playoffs, Steve Walsh comes in And on New Year's Day of 95, you beat the Vikings asses at the Metrodome. How's that for a happy
story? You know what? That's a good memory. What do you want to know? What play? First play, last play? I got that one play for play in my mind. No, you know what? That was a good one. They were division champs, and they had beaten us earlier in the year, and we went up there, and really, the game plan was good. I mean, their pass rush, we knew that we couldn't drop back and throw. We couldn't protect well enough. So I remember that game. We ran a lot of boots and waggles, and then we got them softened up a little bit, and Raymond Harris had a nice day. And who was a little guy? Oh, God, we blocked a punt for a touchdown. Minifield, I think. Wait, what was his? Kevin Minifield.
Kevin Minifield.
He blocked a punt and picked it up and ran it in. It was a great time.
The block punt is always.
It's Mac's favorite play behind the safety.
You just brought that to memory. That flashed into my mind.
Give me a safety and I can go to football heaven that night, a block punt and a safety in the same game. So the best way to neutralize an aggressive pass rush, there's several ways to do it. One of them is soften them up by running right at them a few times.
Yep.
I suspect that's what the Vikings have up their sleeves for the Bears this week. There's all this talk about Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, but they're getting Dalvin Cook going, and they still have Latavius Murray, too.
Dalvin Cook, to me, is the one player that he was my favorite running back coming out the year. He came out of Florida State in the draft. And he played a week, you know, against Detroit. Was really his first game of coming back healthy this year off the injury, and he ran for 90 yards, 89 yards to be exact, 10 carries, and he caught the ball. He had about 125, 130 yards total offense. So this guy's a threat catching and running. I mean, this guy is a really good player. So he's one that could, as the game goes on, people could be saying, who's this Dalvin Cook guy? Because he was hurt last year. He played like four games and got hurt, and he was hurt at the beginning of this season.
And that's something that we haven't seen anybody try against that Bears defense this year. Now, sometimes the score dictates it, but the Dolphins are the only team that made a real commitment to it when Gore rushed 15 times against them. David Johnson only had 10 or 11 carries.
They've given up one rushing touchdown all season.
But no one's made the commitment to it. That's what I'm saying. We haven't seen them take on a team that is willing to get in the mud with them for four quarters.
You know, Bill Parcells said, I remember when they won the one Super Bowl, and Otis Anderson, I'm taking you back, he was their tailback, and he averaged like 2.5 yards a carry. And someone said to Parcells after the game, geez, he kept giving it to Otis, you know, 25 times, and you weren't making anything. And he said, you know, when you look at the big picture of winning games, he says, I believe sometimes it's not how many yards, but how many times you do run the ball that affects your defense and affects the field position and affects the clock and slows down the pass rush. I mean, all these things, you know, from a head coach's perspective, you have to take into account depending on the opponent you're facing. But I remember that thing, and I remember at the Super Bowl, our first Super Bowl against Buffalo, we went in, and I think Emmett was about 2 or 3 yards of carry. And I remember standing right there because me, him, and Norv got together, and I talked about a couple things on defense, and Norv was standing there, and Norv says, boy, we're struggling running the ball against the Bills. And Jimmy says, hey, those three-yard runs will be six-yard runs. Keep feeding them the football. I think he ran it 32 times.
Especially with that line you guys had in front of Emmett. Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. There's just not many teams that do that anymore. I mean, Ty, I just pulled it up. Todd Gurley right now is leading the NFL in rushing attempts at 198. So, I mean, they've played
Nine games.
They've played nine games.
That's good. Well, I know this. When Ricky Williams, I had him – I thought he ran it about 350, I think it was, because he said that was one of the reasons he retired. I was trying to run him to death. But I got offended by that, and I went back and checked, and Bill Parcells had run Curtis Martin more than that. You know, not much.
Uh-huh. The Rams have played 10 games.
But a few.
Oh, 10?
10 games, yeah.
Okay, so that's 19 carries a game.
Yeah, that's nothing compared to
average of 19 carries.
I know, but compared to what you guys are talking about, and then the second place is less than 170.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, so Gurley is the best running back in the NFL, and he's running less than 20 times a game. And then there's a huge drop to Zeke Elliott, James Conner, Kareem Hunt, Adrian Peterson. It's just, I just don't know if that exists in this NFL where passing is so easy and scoring is so high. Like, I don't see many teams committed to running, no. Even if you're not successful.
You're right. And I think a lot has to do with the rule changes, you know, as far as you have. You look at the guys, there's less. This is the least amount of scoring's up. Let me just give you something, okay? And you can talk about this the rest of the week. Scoring's up and yards are up. We know that. Everybody talks about that. Did you know that this is the least amount of blitzing and pressuring in the NFL since they've been keeping records in, you know, 15, 20 years, okay. in modern time? And it's all because of, one, the ball's coming out so much quicker, right? These spread offenses. Two, you line up in a spread offense, you got to have guys covering them. You can't have them in the box where they have potential blitzers. And three, the rule changes, right? Or now it's
hitting the quarterback.
Yeah,
that's our
hitting
thing.
The quarterback. There's penalties, so you back off a little bit. So the blitzing is down, yards are up, and points are up. So it all kind of fits. It really does.
We got another segment with Dave Wanstead in studio. He's got a really cool feature I know coming on the college broadcast this week. Big interview you did. We'll get into that.
You want to talk about bloodying your nose? Where I was at on Monday with my man Jim Harbaugh. We're going to find out if that type of offense works.
It works in the Big Ten.
We're going to find out. He wins, takes care of business, gets in the playoffs. Someone's going to find out real quick, Clemson or somebody.
Yeah, they will lose to Clemson. Another segment with Dave Wanstead in studio on the Score.
Gobble, 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 turkey from Jive Turkey Gobblers.
Jim Harbaugh, he's doing the see and say with the gobbles.
Bottom of the hour on the Score, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Do you like goals? So do we. The Chicago Wolves are currently the highest scoring team in the Western Conference. Be there Saturday as the Wolves host Iowa at 7, Sunday at 3 against Manitoba at Allstate Arena. Visit chicagowolves.com for tickets. So many places. We don't have a ton of time left.
Right.
So many more places to go.
I know Dave wants to do Michigan, but before we get there, Dave's thoughts on what we were discussing yesterday are I need them. We were discussing how in this year's NFL, defenses don't seem to have a chance. And a lot of people are pointing to rule changes as a large contributor to that. And Danny asked me yesterday, has defense ever mattered less? And I had to think about it for a little bit. And I say, no, because sooner or later, someone's going to figure out a way how to stop this. The question is how. I mean,
yeah. You know what? There's two thoughts that I have that I want you to think about. Number one, if a quarterback does not have fear of getting hit in the mouth, okay? Hit in the mouth, an average quarterback can be a very good or outstanding quarterback. So to me, the pass rush, where the adjustments are going to come are on the back end, the matchups and all that stuff. Okay, but the most important part of a defense still, in my opinion, is guys being able to rush the passer. Number one, to hit the quarterback in the mouth. And number two, he can't hold the ball. Now, with that being said, we're talking about the ball, the quick screens, like, you know, the running plays and all that stuff. Why is that happening? When I was coaching, I used to walk into our offensive line meetings. I would put the tape on, and I would see a great defense. And I would walk into our offensive line room. Tony Wise was the line coach. And I would say, Tony, come up with some plays where we don't have to block anybody. And he would get mad as hell at me, but it was the truth. And what I was saying was, we can't block these guys, so if we try to run the ball or do conventional plays, we're going to get killed. Throw it out there to quick screens. Do something. Get it out. Why is that? The rule changes. I'm not talking about pass interference rule penalties or roughing the passer rule changes. I'm talking about practice. What position requires the most work to develop? What position requires the most work to have continuity and everybody working together? Offensive line. The guys don't put pads on anymore. They don't practice anymore. You can't play offensive line without hitting people and having pads on. You can do all you throw the ball all you want with receivers and skill guys. The offensive line guys are not being developed today like they were in the past because of all the CBA rule changes. In the mini camps, we used to go full speed in mini camps, right? Training camp. I went my first couple of years here at the Bears. God, I remember Ming, Steve McMichael, and Richard Dent come up to me and say, Coach, we're on our fourth week. You were there, Danny. We're on our fourth week, Coach. We hadn't had a day off, and we're in full pads every day. That's how you develop the linemen. And it's not happening nowadays, so line play is not as good. I'm not saying they're not as talented, but they're not as developed, and their techniques and skills are not as good.
So you need to expose them defensively. How are you going to do that? You're going to throw more at them?
You're going to bring pressure. You're going to bring pressure. They can't block guys one-on-one. No, they can pick up blitzes. That's why earlier I said blitzing's down, because the ball's coming out so quick. You can't get there. And mentally, I can pick up a blitz. Ah, he's coming, he's not coming. You're not going to trick him. But physically, Khalil Mack lining up on your shoulder, and you're thinking to yourself, hell, I haven't had very many reps. I haven't had a lot of work at this. I'm at a disadvantage. That, I think, is a big part of why the game should, because of the rule changes, development of offensive line.
I think it's a great point. It's very well said, and I just wonder, like, we were talking about this yesterday. Bears play the Rams.
Yep.
Coming up in 4 weeks, right? Is that game more likely, and it's a December game, at Soldier Field, is that game more likely to be played in the teens or in the 30s? And I would say the 30s, and that's just because the offenses right now, not saying forever, but right now are so far ahead for all those things that you mentioned, rules and everything, that the Bears have the best defense in the NFL, and I don't know how much they're going to be able to slow down the Rams.
This is dangerous, me thinking it, let alone saying it. You're the defensive coordinator right now, right?
Sure.
Of the Bears, and you're playing the Rams tomorrow. What's the first thing? What do you got to stop right off the bat?
Todd Gurley.
Thank you. So what are they going to do? They're going to throw the heck out of that football. I mean, they're not going to be afraid to throw it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of that running game. Big difference. Big difference, in my opinion.
I'm ready to pad up.
Yeah, oh, I love it. I love this. It's so good. So tell us about, you had a one-on-one with Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, we were in Fort Benning, as I mentioned, with our NFL. I flew up to Detroit Sunday night, went to Ann Arbor Monday. We have Michigan, Indiana this week, then obviously at Fox, and we have the Michigan-Ohio State game next week. So I had a great visit with Jim, and we talked a lot of football. We talked, you know, I don't want to give too much away, okay? I talked a little bit earlier, but all I can tell you is you talk about old school mentality, and it's great. He drives to work every day the same route that Bo drove.
Okay? Is that right?
He gets his hair cut in the same barbershop that Bo did. So without getting into too much of it, it's...
How crazy is he?
He's intense. I would say that. He's intense, and he's a football coach. And I said this to him. We were laughing like heck. I said, you know, I always thought that if we had a problem at linebacker and you turned him in the game and said, Jim, get in there and play middle linebacker, he would just run and play.
I love football.
And he loves football. That's it.
Is he going to coach in the NFL again?
You know what? You know
not
what
if he loves.
You know what he kind of told me, and we talked about it briefly? You know, Bo was there 20 years. And Jim, I think, would like to be there a long time. He's got young kids. His kids are going to the same elementary school, guys, that he went to. How about that?
It's a great story.
Yep.
What did you make of now the Bears, you know, they're so relevant again that mm-hmm. we got helicopters over Soldier Field watching Cody Parkey practice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was last night. It was on the
local. Well, I'm glad he's down there practicing. I mean, that's the first I've when I came here, you know, I didn't have to say a word. Kevin Butler came up to me and says, Coach, on Thursdays we head to Soldier Field. Special teams coach goes, the snapper goes, the holder goes. I mean, every field is a little bit different, guys. I'm not talking about grass. And Linda Murray did the same thing. And Linda was a Pro Bowl kicker I had at the Dolphins.
Sure.
And he went down to Pro Player Stadium. I mean, and Kevin here, when we were kicking on AstroTurf, a few times he went to Northwestern. A couple times we went up to before the roof collapsed on our bubble, we went up into our bubble up there. Where the heck was that at? I think I went up
there. Waukegan, wasn't it?
Waukegan. I went there one time, and I said, guys, let me tell you something. I would just soon practice. It was like -5 wind chill. And Curtis Conway, you know, he was a rookie, and he wouldn't come out of the locker room. I said, we're practicing outside because I am not going to that bubble.
Yeah, Curtis hated the call. But he grew up.
He did.
Before our very eyes, he became a man in the Chicago Bears uniform on and off the field.
And I see him now. He does Pac-12 stuff, so I see him all the time. He's great.
Great guy, yeah. Well, it seems like an obvious that you would send the kicker to the park in which he's kicking, right?
Well, the wind is a little – and I'll be quiet, okay? But here's the deal. I think at any position, you say, when do you gain confidence? You don't just gain it on Sunday. You get it during the week in practice, whether you're throwing, catching, blocking. And for kickers, you gain it during the week. What better place do you gain confidence than the place you're going to be kicking on Sunday for the wind, the field, everything that's involved about it?
He misses on Sunday night. Is he gone?
He won't miss Sunday night. He'll make them.
But what if he does?
He won't. I'm just telling
he
you.
He won't. Wandy's crystal ball. No clanking.
I'm positive. The glass is half full. I'm drinking a half full water right here. He will not miss.
He will not miss.
Okay. We'll get you a beer for next week.
There you go.
The Bears win?
I picked the Bears to win on my show today, Pro Football Weekly. I picked the Bears to win. Yep. I think that home field will make a difference, and I think that their defense is good enough that they're going to really force. I mean, hey, Kirk Cousins knows that this is why the Vikings paid him that money, for games like this. And if things aren't going well, guy that's making a lot of money starts pressing. You start pressing, you make mistakes.
Good stuff, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.